This is the Banner of Truth radio broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your speaker this time, filling in for Reverend Hans Overdoon, is Pastor Kuldip Ganger.
Dear radio listener, over the next few weeks, I would like to discuss with you what is usually called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This is a very important portion of Scripture, for it is the only time our Lord unveils what goes on in the afterlife. We cannot study this as if we were merely spectators, for we too will die unless the Lord comes before then. It has been pointed out that 3 people die every second, 180 every minute, nearly 11,000 every hour, about 260,000 every day, and 95 million every year. Death, beloved, comes to young and old, rich and poor, intelligent and the unlearned. Often people will say there are 2 things certain in life, death and taxes. This is not quite accurate. Many have managed to avoid or evade taxes. But what is certain is death and judgment. So let us look today at Lazarus and ask the important question, why did he go to heaven? I'm reading from Luke 16, verses 19 to 22. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. Let us look at what we are told about Lazarus. We are told that he was a beggar, not a beggar enjoying good health, but one full of sores. As if that is not enough, it is added that he had dogs who came and licked his sores. He was unable even to drive away these wild dogs who came to lick his sores. Apparently he had no one to provide for him, for if he had had, he would not have needed to beg. He was placed at a certain rich man's gate, with the hopes that all who would come and go through that gate may show him mercy. We may say his lot in life was not a good one. He was an object of pity. His desire was to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The next thing we are told is that he died. But we are not told that he received any burial, for after all, who would go to the expense over such a man? But we are told something that astonishes us and astonished every Jew who heard our Lord speak, that this beggar, who had such sufferings on earth, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This being a Jew, this being a Jewish way of speaking of heaven. Now the question that is important for us to answer is, why and for what reasons did Lazarus end up in heaven? For we are told of no works that he did, for he could not even fend for himself, nor of any words that he spoke which earned him a place in heaven. So how do we account for this great change upon his death? There are certain people who read in terms of God's equalizing the situation. Some use this to argue against the rich and say one day they are going to receive their due for hoarding their riches. So they say there will be a great reversal. The rich will be poor and suffer in hell. The poor will enjoy heaven forever. So people will say of one who was poor, even though he was an unbeliever, when he has passed away, that he has gone to a place of peace and blessedness. But surely Scripture nowhere teaches that people are condemned for simply being rich, and go to heaven simply because on earth they were poor. Besides, this difference in their position is something that God decides. We do not have a choice as to whether we will be born rich or poor. If we did have such a choice, we may all be tempted to choose the rich man's portion. So what then made the difference? Now we can spend much time speculating as to what might have been the case. But you notice the character of Lazarus is presented throughout the story as being passive. It is not what he did, but in whom he trusted that made the difference. God had given Lazarus a talent. That was his present afflictions. Friend, you may be shocked at my saying that, but do you realize that sufferings can be a precious gift if by means of it you are brought to distrust in finding satisfaction in things of earth and are led to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ as your everlasting good. Lazarus had his evil things. They were afflictions, which were used by the Holy Spirit to show him his need of God and his Christ. Those in whom such afflictions have this outcome forever will bless God for them throughout eternity. Psalm 119, verse 67 states, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Friend, there are many whose lot in life is one of suffering, and such may be yours. But blessed be God, he brings good out of such sufferings, if they are used aright. There are many who respond to suffering by railing at the rich, like Joseph's brothers, who could not say a good word about their brother because he had told them his dreams. Lazarus, however, did not rail at the rich. After all, he was found at his gate. Nor did he entertain hard thoughts against God, as many do, who rarely thank God for all the good they receive, but are quick to blame him for any evil in their lives. Neither do we find him wallowing in self-pity over his lot in life. Nor does he curse God, as Job's wife had suggested to Job as she watched him suffer. How did Lazarus respond? It led him to look away from this present world to the life to come. Since the things of earth satisfied him not, he sought his satisfaction in God and his promises. This explains why we find no complaint upon his lips, nor curses, for he had come to be satisfied in God and what God had provided in his Son. Like the thief on the cross, he looked to Christ to be remembered by him. So Lazarus looked to God to grant pardon and peace and an everlasting portion by grace. It is not that Lazarus had any claims on God, for by birth he, like the rich man, was a sinner, deserving the wrath of God. His sufferings were not unjust, for all sufferings are traced to sin. He did not argue with the justice of God, but sought mercy from God. For all men are born and conceived in sin, and therefore are born under wrath. Lazarus was driven by the Spirit, using affliction in his life to Christ, as pictured by the bleeding lambs slain in the temple. You may ask, how do I know all that? Where does the text say that? Friend, I have not poured it into Scripture. It can be properly inferred from Scripture. For Scripture clearly tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Also our Lord made it clear when he said, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me." Lazarus was saved. Therefore he must have been saved by the only Savior God had provided. It is only through Christ we are made a true seed of Abraham. He believed himself to be the chief of sinners and trusted in the blood of atonement as his only hope. Under the Spirit, Lazarus knew Christ, as did Abraham, or David, or Solomon, and believed in him and was saved. Dear listener, I do not know what your outward state is, but whether rich or poor, you need to come to Christ while you have being. If you are in a state of poverty and suffering, do not curse God or blame him, for God is just, but rather let your present woes drive you to look away from your present condition to the one under whose wrath you are, and to flee to the Savior, and to find in him your everlasting portion. All men are born of Adam into the world and are born without God. But if they die in such a state, they will perish forever. Lazarus was brought to see his good in God and in him alone, and found in him a satisfying portion for this life and for eternity. This was not a pie in the sky by and by, as often people say, for it brought him comfort now. He now could rejoice in his Savior. He now could bear patiently his sufferings, knowing that his sins were forgiven, that God was his Father, and that he had a hope that could not be disappointed. It enabled him to live to God's glory, to endure present sufferings, and to wait for his good things to come. John Bunyan, in his famous classic Pilgrim's Progress in the House of the Interpreter gives the picture of patience and passion. Passion demands his things now, and he has given them, and he enjoys them. But when they are all gone, he is miserable. But patience waits for his good things to come, and his things will be forever. Beloved listener, let me close with the words of our Savior to the weary, which include all men, whether they know it or not, that they are under the wrath of God, that you may flee to him and find rest, who for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Our Lord uttered these words after he had been preaching, and many had not believed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lazarus had heard these words, and Lazarus believed in the Lord. Lazarus received God and received pardon for his sins. And whatever his circumstances in this life, he found a peace that no man could take away. Dear listener, what is your state this very hour? You may be rich, you may be poor, but whatever state you're in, you are without God. And if you should die in that state, you will perish eternally. But like Lazarus, even though you may be poor and suffering, yet you can let those circumstances drive you from the present circumstances to the God who is in control of all things, and to find in him your everlasting portion. And you too, when passing from this world, will be taken up into Abraham's bosom. But even in this world, will have a joy unspeakable in believing in the only Savior of sinners. May God grant you that this day. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ganger. This is the first of several messages that Kuldeep Ganger will be giving as I am on vacation the next few weeks. Pastor Ganger is the minister in the Free Reformed Church of Bellevue, Washington. You can receive a free copy, a printed copy of the message you just heard, writing to the Banner of Truth broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, EPP, Chilliwack, BC, postal code V2P6N6, Victory 2 Peter 6 Nelly 6. We are pleased to announce too that in addition to receiving free printed copies of our messages, you may also listen to our messages and other messages from before on our Free Reformed website. You can find out too about the nearest Free Reformed church on that website. Please check us out on the website www.frcna.org. Till next time, and thank you for listening.